Greetings from St. Augustine, Florida, which just happens to be the oldest city in the United States. Here, visiting my brother and his wife. And I'm also recording iFaith Video Sermon 99. The title, Jeremiah, Outer Courage, Inner Turmoil. We read in the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young." This is a common response when God calls on men and women to do great things. Jeremiah was probably young. We don't know how young. And yet this is just the beginning of the opening of a window into the heart, the life, the inner world of Jeremiah. He is unique in the degree to which his personal feelings are revealed. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, but especially in chapters 11 to 20, we learn so much about this man, far more than about any other prophet in the Bible. Yes, Isaiah is called in Isaiah 6, and he's overwhelmed, and we see that. And Ezekiel is also overwhelmed and stunned into silence when he's called at the beginning of Ezekiel. But there aren't that many more feelings expressed in such books as Isaiah and Ezekiel. Jeremiah is just different. Now, he was called to deliver an unpopular message. God's people had been drifting more and more into idolatry. They'd been ignoring the word of God, ignoring the covenant, which by their relationship with Yahweh, they were bound to follow, but they dishonored him. And Jeremiah had to point that out, that their priorities were all wrong, that their sins, and he was very specific on that, their sins were many and they needed to be repented of. So he was viewed as, let's say, a conveyor of bad news, a bit of a traitor, because he didn't always act in a politically correct way. He was viewed as a failed prophet. I mean, he started prophesying in 626 BC. It was a long time, 40 years or so, before Jerusalem fell, and he could have said, I told you so, but look, for decades, it seemed as though maybe he was wrong. He lived through Josiah's reform in 621, which didn't go very far. The Babylonians did come in 597 and then 587, and he was vindicated, I suppose, at that point. But he was always viewed as somewhat extreme. I like the way one biblical scholar put it, Jeremiah is not stern in public because he's heartless. It's because he loves his nation and his people so dearly that he speaks the severe word, but it takes a terrible toll on his own emotional life. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. It hurt him, the condition of the people of God, and to have to say the things he was called to say. And that heart for people reminds us of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem after he gives some of his most scathing words. Well, we're going to have 7 or 8 glimpses into the inner world of this courageous prophet, his inner life. And if you want to, well, just read the book of Jeremiah. I know it's long, but there's especially what some scholars call his personal spiritual diary. You'll find in chapters 11, 15, 17, 18, and 20. But for now, back to chapter 4. Oh, my anguish, Jeremiah says. My anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the agony of my heart. My heart pounds within me. I cannot keep silent, for I've heard the sound of the trumpet. I've heard the battle cry. It reminds us of Amos in Amos chapter 3. See, but this brought Jeremiah no great pleasure. It was painful. He believed God's word. He accepted God's diagnosis of the spiritual condition of the world. And although it was painful for him to accept and to address, yet he couldn't keep silent. It reminds us of the apostles Peter and John early in the book of Acts, and reminds us of our own evangelistic mission. How's our passion when we meet new people? Does it occur to us to look for the divine opportunity, or are we too quiet? Jeremiah was an incredible prophet and preacher. of his preaching, an Old Testament scholar said, it is not calm, reflective poetry, but the passionate outpouring of a poet preacher seeking to stab a nation's conscience awake. And yet he was rejected by those close to him, by family, by his fellow priests in Anatoth, priests who had been there since the time of Solomon. The Lord warns him, the people of Anatoth who are threatening to kill you, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hands. And it goes on. I mean, God warns him. He tells him what's going to happen. Your relatives, members of your own family, even they have betrayed you. They have raised a loud cry against you. Do not trust them, though they speak well of you. Maybe it would be easier if they simply spoke ill of Jeremiah. But it wasn't all that kind of feedback. And God says, be careful who you trust. The pressure, the pain of decades of bearing this responsibility really gets to Jeremiah. In one of his very open, candid outpourings of emotion, we see him in Jeremiah 12. You are always righteous, Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You've planted them and they've taken root. They grow and they bear fruit. You're always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Jeremiah reminds me of many of the Psalms. It reminds me of the words of Asaph or Habakkuk or Abraham, many who have a concern with the justice of God. And he says, look, I'm supposed to be one of the good guys, but the bad guys are getting away with it. They're doing well. And God never answers this complaint of Jeremiah in chapter 12. In fact, he's only told to prepare for worse things. It's going to get harder. He had preached to others about the reality of God, one writer says, but now this made no sense in his own experience. He accused God of becoming an unreliable source of strength. Jeremiah is disappointed with God. Have you ever been disappointed with God? If so, you're in good company. Listen to this from chapter 15. Alas, my mother, that you gave me birth, a man with whom the whole land strives and contends. I have neither lent nor borrowed. And he carries on. He's asking his mother, why'd you even bear me? I mean, everyone's against me. Why was I born? The kinds of words that we hear from Job's mouth, for example. And he feels that the entire land is against him. Listen, Lord, you understand. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. Oh, wow. You're long-suffering. Don't take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your name. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers. I never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails. He loves God's word. I love that 15:16. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy, my heart's delight. That's the attitude I always want to have about God's word. And he was delighted in these words, not simply because they're interesting, but he said, because I bear your name, God's name, the Lord God Almighty. We're his representatives here. And you can see the loneliness of the prophet coming through. More about that in a moment. Sitting alone and this indignation. But he's quite negative here. He accuses God of being a deceptive brook. In Israel, you have wadis, and a wadi is a stream or a stream bed. Most of the year, it's a stream bed. But when there's rain, which is rare or significant rain, then the stream bed fills. But often it's simply dry. And so one might go to the wadi hoping for a drink, but there's nothing there. And he says, God's like that. Well, the Lord demands that Jeremiah repent of his negativity, and then he can be restored to his prophetic office. But so intense, the pain that this prophet felt, the pain, it was intensified. It's not like it got easier and easier with life. In fact, he was forbidden the comfort of marriage, God told him, you won't marry, you won't have children. Don't go to funerals, don't go to feasts, be separate. Let me just read a little bit from chapter 16. God says you must not marry and have sons or daughters. Well, why? Well, because the children who are born in this land will die. They'll be killed by the Babylonians. He says, don't enter a house where there's a funeral meal. Don't go into mourn or show sympathy. I mean, these are social occasions when you'd be expected to be involved. But he withdraws because God says, I have withdrawn my blessing. Also, don't enter a house where there's feasting. And don't sit down to eat and drink. Because before your eyes and in your days, I will bring an end to the sounds of joy and gladness. So he's an outsider, not because he has a strange personality. He's simply doing what God told him to do. He's not able to enjoy in the carefree activities of society or even the normal occasions of weddings and funerals and feasting and just even being a father and a husband himself. And why? Well, because when he's absent from such events and when he doesn't participate in the mainstream of life in this way, people would ask why. So why weren't you there? Why don't you participate? Why are you separate? And that's the opening to explain so that they can understand God's word. But there was this lack of a carefree spirit and an increasingly strong sense of doom. Now, I would like to say that Jeremiah just vented a little bit, but overall he was a very loving person. He may have been a very loving person, but there's quite a difference between him and Jesus, because in chapter 18, among other places, he prays passionately for his enemies to be punished. Listen to this. Listen to me, Lord. Hear what my accusers are saying. Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they've dug a pit for me. Remember that I stood before you and I spoke in their behalf to turn your wrath away from them. So, Jeremiah says, give their children over to famine. Hand them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives be made childless and widows. Let their men be put to death. Their young men slain by the sword in the battle. But you, Lord, you know all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins in your sight. Wow. Very honest. You know where he stands here. And he feels even more justified for having this strong negativity towards his opponents, because he's been acting in their behalf. These aren't just people randomly attacking him. These are people that he's sincerely tried to help. He's wanted the best for them. Oppressed and afflicted, but unlike Jesus, Jeremiah opened his mouth and screamed down curses on his enemies. This is what he did. It's not in the Bible so that we can do the same any more than the Psalms that have such language are there so that we can curse our enemies, but it does help us. We understand it's sometimes good to articulate what we actually feel. With this prophet, there is outer courage, but inner turmoil. Does that make sense now? Courage is not the absence of fear. It's not even the certainty of success or clarity of thinking. Courage is doing what's right regardless. And that's what we need to do. That's what I need to do, regardless of how people respond, regardless of how I feel. And our generation is so hung up on feeling, but it's not about feeling. It's about doing what's right. Jesus, of course, was always calm. He was at peace, and he's our ideal. But to be honest, maybe you're like me, you often live more in the world of Jeremiah than you do in the world of Jesus Christ, though we aim to be like him. Jeremiah was a real person, a real human. And just as in the Psalms, his story gives us permission to be real, permission to express our real selves. And that doesn't mean we have permission to disobey, but it does mean that we can be honest. In the meantime, regardless of the amount of inner turmoil we experience, and we all have some, let's be strong and courageous. Next time in iFaith 100, we'll look at Jeremiah one last time in a message called Stocks, Prison, Execution, and Worse. Thank you for listening to the iFaith series.